Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we want to talk about double standards regarding sexual harassment and assault of women, and also regarding international relations, both of those things. We did a show this past summer, Prepare for War with North Korea, so we want to talk about the double standards that the left in America has regarding communism and the Russians, for example, and also regarding Harry Weinstein and Hollywood's war on women and how there is a double standard there and how they will be quick to jump and condemn conservatives and Christians for sexual immorality, but they will do their best to cover up sexual assault, sexual harassment by people like Bill Clinton, Harvey Weinstein, and others, and that double standard benefits Christians. It benefits us, and it hurts the heathen. There's also a double standard with the sexual behavior of women. Now, we've been losing that because of the so-called sexual revolution and feminism, but that double standard also benefited women in that if a woman was sexually immoral, then that was a far greater hit on her reputation than if a man was. So we want to talk about these issues. Also, the two programs we did on Calvinism with Will Duffy a week ago, so many people love those programs. And we will turn that webpage where we have our show summary with John Calvin saying that God is the author of sin. We will turn that into our landing page on all things Calvinist. Also today, someone put a comment on our YouTube channel, which, by the way, is over 300,000 views now. So thank you to those who've come along and helped that channel grow into a success. Remember, Bob and Yurt Live is only on one radio station. It happens to be the most powerful Christian radio station in America, but still, we're not on hundreds of outlets, we're on one. And so we're so thankful to those who support financially, prayerfully, and also who take advantage of our resources online, post links, share videos on Facebook, and so on. So I'd love to get to his comment. In fact, this will be quick. Let me do this right now. On our YouTube channel, you'll see our different playlists, Real Science Radio, Theology Thursday. Well, under theology, there's our debate with James White versus Bob Enyart on open theism, whether or not the future is settled or open. If God is creative forever and ever, then the future can't be settled because he hasn't exhausted his creativity. And in fact, he never will. So the future is forever open and not settled. The video has 25,700 views so far. In the comments, you'll see a statement by Tim Ballantyne. The future was settled before the creation. So here's my reply to him. Hello, Tim Ballantyne. Thanks for visiting. Do you think that God ever had freedom in determining what history would contain and how it would unfold? Was God ever free to determine those things? Or, like in the Greek myths, when Zeus was as caught up in fate as everyone else, do you think that all that happens was eternally obligatory? In other words, perhaps God had no choice by the theology of some people. So, Tim, if God ever had freedom over what happens, why then would he have traded away that freedom and now be unable to change anything that would otherwise happen, or even add to anything that would otherwise happen? Did God not trust himself with freedom? Leading Calvinists, whom I have debated, have admitted that they would not trust our God with freedom. If he were free, they could not trust our God. That's horrific, but that's what they have admitted. But by your theology, Tim, if God ever did have freedom over what happens, and now he cannot change what will otherwise happen or add to it, then that itself is a major change in God. A major change, which then would mean that he's not immutable. Immutable means you can't change. So if God used to be free regarding what happens, and now he's not, wow, what a major change. And therefore, the fundamental commitment of the Calvinist is false immutability. So I conclude with Tim. So then God would have had freedom over what happens, but now he no longer has such freedom. And if you're interested in more, see our website, kgov.com/opentheism. So we want to talk about these issues, but first, the development with muscular dystrophy. This is an astounding advance against this horrific disease. You can hear more about this on Friday on Real Science Radio. But we've often presented evolution, Darwinism, as a science stopper. The science stopper it is. Well, today there is a technology called CRISPR, CRISPR-Cas9, and it's a way of taking a disease caused by a genetic mutation and editing out the mutation and correcting the gene. Muscular dystrophy, there are 9 major kinds of it, where people's muscles, their skeletal muscles, their heart muscles are not strong. It could be a debilitating disease, which often leads to death. And so, because the evolutionists believe that most of our DNA is junk, they've said 97% is junk. How ignorant, how stupid, how naive, what hubris to think that our body is poorly designed. Anyway, they thought that DNA is mostly junk because it's all kludged together from mutations, mistakes over millions of years. And so when they found something in bacteria that they didn't understand the function of it, they thought it was junk. And for 20 years, they thought it was junk. And now they realize that it was a brilliant antiviral defense system in bacteria that can be used potentially to cure muscular dystrophy and 1,000 other diseases. So we lost 20 years of progress in this front because of the humanist, materialist worldview that says life is a series of mistakes. How absurd. How scientifically ignorant. And as we've documented in so many ways, evolution is a science stopper. So we'll be talking about that more on Friday with Fred Williams and Real Science Radio. Tune in if you can. And so for now, the double standards. Think about communism and then also the sexual harassment and Hollywood's war on women. Hollywood and the left, Bill Clinton and his allies, his pedophile friends, and so on. Let's talk about North Korea first. When we did our show, Prepare for War with North Korea, there's so much happening right now. Our defense secretary has told the army to stand ready to attack North Korea. South Korea has been prepping their blackout bombs to take out North Korea's electrical grid. I mean, there might be one problem with that. You need a grid to take out, right? Well, I guess they got one, at least a skeleton grid. There's so much on the war with North Korea front, but to think about the big picture, remember the number one justification is to liberate 25 million human beings. 25 million North Koreans who are enslaved under communism, whom the left cares nothing about and the right mostly ignores. They are denied, these victims of communism are denied their God-given human rights and their basic dignity. Yeah, there are state-approved religions in North Korea, like communist countries will do, some of them, but true religion is forbidden. There's no freedom of speech, no freedom of association, of travel, no personal autonomy. And yes, there is a national Stockholm syndrome where some millions of people end up defending their own captors. That's understandable psychology. But those people deserve liberty. And so that's the number one justification to going to war with North Korea. And so you think about the left, because they're now preparing their anti-war propaganda, their anti-war opposition, not based on principle, but based on who's in the White House. Because if it were Bill Clinton who said, we're going to liberate the North Koreans and we're going to remove their ability to hold the world hostage with the threat of nuclear attacks so they can't extort whatever demands they have from not only America, but any nation in the world and any of their neighbors by the threat of attacking them with a nuclear weapon, plus a madman like they have in charge of their country, in fact, the latest in a family of madmen, who can decide whether or not to nuke Japan or to nuke Seoul, South Korea. So that number one justification, and then there's the other benefits, like ending their nuclear program and taking out their entire government and their economic system, which is communism. So that's the number one justification. But when you think about the left and their opposition to Russia, right? Russia was the fount of international communism for the world. And the left, they now have this newfound opposition to Russia. And I appreciate it. I think you should too. It's helpful. Of course, it's diagnostic of how dysfunctional the left is. Russian governing officials killed tens of millions of their own people. I'm not talking about in wars against other nations. They killed tens of millions of their own people, and that was not enough to get the left in America to view the Russians and their governmental system, their worldview, as evil or as enemies. But now, today, the delusional fantasy of the left is that the Russians somehow threw the presidential election. And so now they all view the Russians as the spawn of Satan. Okay, so you notice that? They didn't really care that tens of millions of people were killed by Russian governing officials. They did not care about that. They actually were rather fond of Russia, of the Soviet Union, but because they think the Russians helped the Republicans win the White House, now the Russians, finally, now they're enemies. So then if you think about Russia backing international communism and supporting it in North Vietnam, North Korea, in Cuba, wherever they could, let's discuss for a moment, because it ties in with the opposition to communism in North Korea. Let's discuss the Vietnam War, the series by Ken Burns that just aired nationally on PBS. It just ended. Burns, along with the rest of the left in America, Ken Burns forgot why we fought. At least he does this whole documentary series on the Vietnam War, and he never covers the reason why we fought. He even has segments where you have American soldiers saying, why are we here? Why are we fighting? And he doesn't answer the question. And so let's think about that for a moment. We went to war in Vietnam to oppose the spread of international communism, by which governments had already slaughtered many millions of their own people, tens of millions of their own people, and robbed hundreds of millions more of their prosperity, their liberty, and their human dignity. Now, this is a minor point, I realize. The fact that communists slaughtered tens of millions of their own people. I realize it's not all that significant, but you would think in episode after episode after episode, so much airtime teaching Americans about a war that many of them have forgotten about, you'd think somewhere there could be a little footnote that the worldview, the ideology that we were fighting had slaughtered tens of millions of its own people. Minor point, but you think it deserved maybe a footnote. And we say tens of millions, but there's something called democide, where people are murdered by their own governments, if you count the millions who were killed by communist governments through intentional and reckless policy-induced famine, then the number of those murdered by their own communist governments soars to over 200 million people in the last century. Over 200 million people. That, of course, is not counting child killing in the womb. If we count worldwide abortion, it's what? 1.4 billion children have been slaughtered. And then another 250 million, mostly by communist governments, slaughtering their own people. Richard Hoag, who I interviewed here on Bob Inert Live earlier this month, one of our Vietnam vets, he and all of our American GIs, they fought not only for our nation's security and for South Vietnam against the spread of communism, but they also fought for almost the entire population of North Vietnam. They fought for the North Vietnamese who were suffering under a national Stockholm syndrome, whereby they began to approve of their own captors. And remember the boat people, right? The now 2 million Vietnamese who escaped the paradise of communism, i.e. the imprisonment. They escaped the paradise of communism, even though for many, that escape was only to drown in the sea. That was it. And recall also that Vietnam was the last country to fall to communism. So in that sense, the sacrifice of our servicemen may very well have preserved liberty for hundreds of millions of people, almost none of whom have any idea whose blood bought their freedom. And that's an earthly example of what Jesus Christ did for the world, for all those who would trust in him, because his blood bought their eternal life, forgiveness of their sins, if they trust in him. You know, it's something for those who have liberty and they don't appreciate, they don't care, they don't want to know about the Americans who suffered and died, sacrificed, trying to stop communism right there, you know, this far and no farther. And then we should have pushed it back. We should have won the war in Vietnam. And then we should have pushed communism back. But at any rate, there are a lot of people who don't appreciate, don't care, don't know, but still they benefit from the liberty of not living in a country that fell to communism. With Jesus, it's not the same. With Jesus, if you don't humble yourself to thank him for the liberty that he has provided for you by sacrificing his life, then you don't get to enjoy that liberty. Because what you've decided is I want to live my life without God. That's what I want to do. And there's a place that people who want to live without God get to do exactly that, and we just happen to call that place hell. So that place is hell, and if God allowed all those people who hate him into heaven, then heaven would just get a new name. We'd call heaven hell, because those people pretty much run things on earth right now. And it's rather hellish. Okay, so the double standard, the left hates the Russians now because they lost an election in America, but they never really minded them when all they were doing was slaughtering innocent people by the millions. That was never a big sticking point to the Democrats and to the left and to our university professors and our elite in Hollywood. Never a big deal. Not even a big deal to the pro-aborts and Planned Parenthood, even though China for decades had their forced abortion policy and Planned Parenthood could hardly ever find a moment that was appropriate to criticize the communists. Why? Because they were killing children. And it didn't matter that it went against their facade of being pro-choice, which is a lie. They're pro-killing children. And so that's why they hardly ever opposed China's forced abortion program. The opposite of pro-choice, but they couldn't care less because really what motivates them is their rebellion against God and killing innocent children is one of the most significant ways to show that you hate God. Jesus said that we need to love these children, and the left hates them and dismembers them. And so the double standard also regarding Hollywood's war on women. Think of the left and their war on women. You know, Cheryl, my wife, she gets so angry at these famous actresses who are now saying, oh, yeah, Harvey Weinstein, everybody knew, and he did it to us, too, and we knew, everybody knew. And now they're saying that other actresses should have the courage to come forward. Well, of course they should. But how about their silence for decades? How about that? That's exactly like the Catholic Church and the scandal. It's exactly like the silence of the Catholic Church, and it's in Hollywood, and it's among the Democrats, and it's on the left. And so not only these actresses, but the men, Matt Damon, Russell Crowe, they're part of Hollywood's war on women. And Cheryl also pointed out that these actresses, and they're upset that women are objectified, and she said, why don't they stop taking their clothes off in front of a million people? Why don't they start there? Are they that stupid? Are they that evil? Are they that wicked? Could you imagine all the Hollywood directors who have a screen test for a woman? She's supposed to be a professional, and she comes and reads a few lines out of the script, and they say, okay, now take off your clothes because, you know, we might cast you in this role, and so take off your clothes. There was a Christian woman, a singer, actress on Broadway decades ago, back when Bob and Yurt Live was first on the air. She was headlining a major Broadway play. I apologize. I can't recall her name. If someone in the audience knows about this story, please email me, bob@kgov.com. I think I'm the only show in the country who knows this ever happened or who cares. She's a Christian. She was not going to do a nude scene. She's a Christian. Now, if she had a Christian worldview, she would not appear in a production that had nude scenes in it. She wouldn't do that. But at least she did to defend her own dignity and to honor God. She's not going to entertain people by disrobing. It's like being a prostitute. You get paid for entertaining people sexually. It's a form of prostitution. So she's not going to do that. Well, the people producing the play, they didn't like that she's a Christian. They just don't like it. So they say to her, even though you're the star and you have made this leading role, you need to be an understudy for this other character in the play because everyone has to know multiple roles. And so you need to do that. And she objected. She said, well, that character has to disrobe on stage and I'm not going to do that. And so they fired her. And she accepted it. She said, well, that was the requirement. And so I'm gone. And that's it. The story, it was like a one-day story, and it's gone. Could you imagine the violations of employment law to tell a woman, an employee, unless you strip, you're not going to get paid? And that's what the left wants, right? Because they affirm Hollywood and all the contracts that men like Harvey Weinstein give to women. Okay, you're here for a job interview? Pull down your pants. Turn around. I want that view. Reminds me of Mike Rosen over at KOA, the filthy pervert Mike Rosen, who brags. He talks about women actresses, current actresses, on KOA. Even he's still on, even though he's semi-retired. He does movie reviews. And he talks about which actresses' backside he prefers over which others. Mike Rosen is a pervert. He's got two daughters. Doesn't he know what he's doing? But you see, he rejects Jesus Christ. He even denies the existence of God. So he has no moral foundation. It's only what he feels like. Whatever he feels like is his standard. And that's not a sufficient standard to keep him out of hell. And on Judgment Day, for those who can't quite figure out why there's a hell, they will figure it out. They will see and they will know. If you don't know why there's a hell, look at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Look at that. Look at the hatred of Jesus Christ. Look at the hatred of the left in America against those who were against communism. You know that the left hated the anti-communists, right? They didn't hate the communists who were slaughtering innocent people by the millions. They hated the anti-communists. And so this double standard. And when Bill Clinton is a rapist, he not only sexually harasses women and sexually assaults women, he's also a rapist, being credibly accused of rape. And he's got one of his best friends with a pedophile island in the Caribbean flying on his pedophile best friend's private jet almost 20 times. In all of this, Hillary, the reason she kept silent for so long regarding, you know, now three women have accused Harvey Weinstein of actually raping them. Not only the horrific sexual harassment and sexual assault, but even of rape. So finally, Barack Obama has to say something. Doesn't want to say something because they move in the same circles. Weinstein, you know how they say somebody's a fat cat? He's a bundler. He's a major fundraiser for the Democrats, for Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and their cronies they try to get into office. So Weinstein is the fat cat pig donor that they live off of. Is that what they call a fat cat pig? Oh, no, just a fat cat. Well, he's one of the fat cat pig donors. Coincidentally, STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, we used to call them venereal disease. In the U.S., they've surged to record high levels. It's the consequences of disobeying God. It's dangerous. It's not God micromanaging and deciding who to give human papillomavirus to and who to give syphilis to and who to give gonorrhea to and who to give HIV to and AIDS. God's not micromanaging that. These are the natural consequences that come with living a dangerous lifestyle, disobeying God. And so the double standard that had existed, where if a woman slept around, she was considered a tramp, right? That was a good thing. It protected women. If a man slept around, he was considered a stud. And there are so many words in the English language for men who sleep around, and they all tend to be compliments. And there are so many words for women who sleep around, whore, and so on, and they're all insults. And that double standard benefited women. It benefited women. Just like if the left gets angry at a Christian leader who turns out to be having an affair, that double standard, it hurts the left and it helps Christians. But a lot of people, especially the left, they can't think through these things. Hey, this is Bob and Yard, KGov.com. May God bless you.